I'd like to call the Sixth Osage Nation Congress back to order. Without objection, I'd like to move ONCA 1993 to General Order Day 3. So now we're on Bill Number ONCA 1993, Amendment Number 1, Page 1, Lines 24 through 60. Strike lines 24 through 60. Discussion? Congresswoman Edwards.
I'd like to ask the movement, if this amendment passes, will it not take out the language that the sponsor, Mr. Walker, proposed when he proposed the bill?
It takes out the amendments that conflicted with what we had voted on previously. So it's strike. We had two. We had amendments that were already voted on, and then we had this conflicting language.
Congresswoman Edwards.
With due respect, that's not an answer to my question. My question
that's
is...
That's the answer I'm given.
Can we please have our hands raised to be recognized, please? Order. Congresswoman Edwards.
Then I'll ask the sponsor. If this amendment passes, does that not take out the language that you had proposed in the bill when you proposed it?
Congressman Walker.
I think I can provide some clarity. If this motion passes and the bill passes with this amendment, it would repeal the Budget Control Act.
Congressman Potts.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. As filed, Section 1 of ONCA 1993 read, an amendment to 15 ONC 1A108. 15 ONC 1A108 shall be amended to read, A, the treasurer shall have the authority to execute budget modifications in accordance with the following line item restrictions. B, no line item shifting shall be allowed into or out of the categories of salaries and wages and employee benefits. C, no line item shifting shall be allowed in shall be allowed out of the category of direct assistance. And D, no line item shifting may be allowed into line items not within an appropriation bill at the time of the enactment if the line item established is to increase by more than $25,000 in a given year. This section shall not apply to non-tribal funds whose expenditures, budget modifications, and line item shifting are guided by federal regulation and require the approval of the funding agency. E, funds may be allowed to shift between expense categories contained in the funded entity, department, or program to another entity, department, or program if the total amount shifted in the given fiscal year is not to exceed $3,000. Section 2 is an amendment to 15 ONC 1A112, which would have read, 15 ONC 1A112 shall be amended to read, the Osage Nation Executive, Judicial, and Legislative Branches, in concordance with the Osage Nation Treasurer, shall hereby authorized to expend non-tribal funds received by the respective branch in accordance with the agreements executed by the principal chief on behalf of the Osage Nation and for the benefit thereof. The Osage Nation Congress shall ensure that the requirements set forth in the matching grant fund, ONCA 1550, are enforced by an annual appropriation to fund in keeping with the purpose established by in Section 2C of that act, and to avoid forfeiture of a grant due to the lack of post-award approval and coordination with the Osage Nation Congressional Sessions. Non-tribal revenue generated from the indirect cost recoveries or from space cost recoveries and the intended expenditures for a given fiscal year shall be submitted to Congress with the annual budget submission on July 15th of each year. The amendment as proposed would strike that original language that was included in ONCA 1993, thus defeating the purpose of filing the bill in the first place. I'll be opposed to the amendment.
Thank you, sir. Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Well, I'm very concerned about what we're doing here at the table today. Seems like we've let a clash of personalities get in the way of our work for the Osage people. Osage Nation Constitution, Article 6, Section 24, last part of the section says the annual budget of the Osage Nation shall be governed by the principles of transparency and accountability. and the budgetary process encompassing those principles shall be set forth in Osage law. The annual budget shall not exceed projected revenues. So if this body is in support of this amendment and repealing the only budgetary law this nation has, I believe we're doing so in conflict with the language of the Constitution. Now, all of this stemmed from an amendment to take the 98% spending limitation or appropriation limitation out of the Budget Control Act, the original amendment to it. There were other amendments made, but now we've gone from that amendment to no budgetary law and are repealing it here today at this table if we accept this amendment, which to me is in violation of the Constitution. I am all about working on this. We've made it through this budgetary session with that limitation on. We're near the home stretch. We have appropriation legislation we need to pass out, but somehow this has morphed into repealing our budgetary law at the end of session after we've already gone through this. It makes no sense to me. I know that conflict happens at the table, but let's focus on what we're supposed to be doing here, which is serving the Osage people. And I don't see any service to the people in repealing the whole law. If there's parts of it we don't like, let's work on those. Let's not do this knee-jerk reaction and repeal our budgetary law. I'm just asking that we don't vote for this amendment. Thank you.
Thank you, Congresswoman. Congresswoman Pratt.
Well, I'm going to comment due to the comments that were just stated, and I would agree that I don't know that anyone contemplated that that's where we were a few hours ago. And saying that this stem, so the comment was just made, if you don't like parts of it, we can work on it. That's exactly how we got here, was a member of Congress doesn't like a part of it and was offering an amendment to try to change that. And when it was proposed, you can say yes or no, and either it passes or it fails, and you move on. But what happened was the sponsor of the Budget Control Act, who is stating that they wholeheartedly agree with and it needs to be there and we have to have this, and it made the movement. So that's how we got here. It was made the movement to repeal it. And I don't think anyone contemplated it. I certainly don't think that that's what Congressman Walker was trying to do when he offered the amendment. So, I mean, is that how it's going to look every time somebody wants to change something that they don't agree with? Because when this was originally voted on, there were many people that said, I'm going to go ahead and vote for it. I don't agree with it 100%. There's this piece I don't like, this piece I don't like. Another congressman across the table says, I don't like that, but I'm going to go with it. Because there's a lot of parts of it that can work, and then there's some that don't really work. So that's where we are, and that's who made the movement, and they proposed the amendment, and now we voted on it, and that's where we are. And there's nothing saying that anyone can't come in tomorrow morning and start working on new budgetary law and get there again. Doesn't mean this is it forever. So I'm going to continue to move on where we are now.
Thank you.
And you're right, it makes no sense to me, but not this part, but it made no sense to me how we even got here, because I didn't hear one person today say, let's just repeal it. Thank you.
Thank you, Congresswoman Pratt. Congresswoman Goodfox.
Well, I agree with many of the things that Congresswoman Pratt said. we had a member, and I don't think it was any secret that he didn't ever agree. As a matter of fact, he was the person who, when we were talking about this piece of legislation, moved it from 95 to 98%, and he wasn't comfortable with it then. We all know that. It's not anything that, it's no secret. Was I surprised that he said he wanted to take out the 98%? No, and I don't think anyone here at this table was surprised. But he didn't like parts of it, so he did what was well within his rights to amend it to take it out. And it had the support from the majority of Congress. And then what turned around was the author of the Budget Control Act decided to make a motion, which he said very clear, I'm not going to vote for this, but for me, I'd rather have that 98% out. If that meant we had to vote down the whole Budget Control Act because of that, so be it. I said that earlier. And I remember being in a spot just like that when it came up for donations several years ago, and I wrote a piece of legislation and a couple of members decided to kind of work around that, and I felt like that. But I didn't stand up at the podium and repeal my own law that I felt so strongly about. I always felt like that donations needed to be with the Osage Nation Foundation. I get it. I put a lot of work into it, and so did you. But for me, he had the votes to get the 98% out, and repealing the whole thing, like I said, so be it.
Any further discussion? If not, we'll vote on the amendment. Roll call vote, please.
Congresswoman Edwards.
No.
Congresswoman Goodfox.
Yes.
Congresswoman Lemon.
Yes.
Congressman Maker.
Yes.
Congressman Mason.
Yes.
Congressman Potts.
No.
Congresswoman Pratt.
Yes.
Congresswoman Stabler.
No.
Congressman Walker.
Yes.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
No.
Congressman Big Horse.
Yes.
Speaker Tillman.
No. Passes. The amendment passes. Next amendment. Page 1, line 40 through 46, strike lines 19 through 22. Page 1, strike lines 19 through 22. Any discussion? Congresswoman Edwards.
So do I need an amendment to the amendment to get rid of 40 to 46? If so, I will. I thought I restated.
No.
Okay.
Congressman Walker.
I would appreciate the movement to let the Congress know what this amendment does.
There's an engrossed bill on the floor that has lines 19 through 22 in it. If passed, lines 19 and 22 through 22 would be removed from the bill.
Any further discussion? Congressman Walker.
Do you mind elaborating just a little bit further? Because I'm looking at the bill 19 through 22, and the bill online would strike the title.
Perhaps you're looking at the wrong version of the bill?
Perhaps. Well, that's why I'm asking. You do that. You regularly ask the movement to explain what they've done. I don't have the bill in front of me.
I'd be happy to share the bill with you.
So it's the repealer language that we just voted on, is that right?
We didn't vote on that just now.
Any further discussion? Congresswoman Pratt?
So that would just strike just that section stating, I don't understand what your problem is, because it would leave that language.
for the repeal. I just want to make sure we have it right in a gross amount, but I mean, it's we understand the effect, but that to me, that doesn't do anything, but because the title is left. So what we just vote on, it only struck lines 24 and beyond. So it left those lines, which I don't know that that's a problem. So why would it be stricken?
I don't know. That's why I'm asking.
I know. So,
Congresswoman, continue.
Okay. I would like for legal counsel to come and speak with us to make sure that we have it. We know how the bill should stand based off of the amendment that was just passed, but I want to make sure it's correct for engrossment.
Mr. Gill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Congresswoman Edwards is correct. The version, the last version that we have is the version that went through engrossment was reported out not properly engrossed. Mm-hmm. But lines 19 through 21 would, if stricken, take out the repeal section, which is the only substantive section left in the bill now that the former amendment passed, essentially leaving it without any provisions whatsoever and okay. Would not move forward, in my opinion.
Any further discussion, questions? Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Well, this is my last appeal to the body. That we need to have budgetary law. We've operated on it this whole, this is the first time we've operated on it through a budgetary session. It gives the Treasury guidance and the accounting department guidance on how to execute the budget. And I'm really in disbelief that we think that's the right thing to do is to repeal budgetary law. You know, I'm going to say one more time, where we are right now, there's enough fault to go around for everybody. But this repealing our budgetary law here at this table serves nobody and serves no purpose. We have to get beyond ourselves and do the right thing. I understand there's parts of the law that people don't like, but to leave us without any, to me, is not a responsible thing to do, no matter what anybody's done at the table. So I'm just appealing to you to keep some budgetary law intact. We've worked long and hard for it to get here. It's a perfect no. Thank you.
Thank you, Congresswoman. Congresswoman Edwards.
The reason I'm proposing this amendment is a yes vote would leave the law in place that we have now. A no vote will mean we have absolutely no budgetary law whatsoever, which means any of those provisions in there are out the door, which means everything we've done for 24 days is for naught because there's not even a definition of what anything means. There's not any description of how salaries and wages are supposed to be treated. Everything that this Congress has stood for 14 years in the way of trying to create budgetary law with the help of the Supreme Court, with the help of the Attorney General, is for naught because now we don't have anything. And I'm going to say again, the mandates of the Constitution mean something. And frankly, as indicated, nobody's was contemplating repealing the whole Budgetary Act. Well, if you're not contemplating it, then don't do it. There's no good reason to do it.
Any further discussion? Congresswoman Lemon.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So we wouldn't be here if the sponsor of the Budget Control Act had not asserted an amendment because of his disagreement with Congressman Walker's amendment. An amendment to amendment got us here. And We all may have things in several laws that we don't really like, we don't really care for, but the whole entire piece of legislation sometimes is more important than the one or two provisions. And I am just disappointed because to throw and to bring that up to just, I'm just going to repeal it then. I mean, it's just the personalities or whatever's going on, but this is where we are. And this is what got us here by the amendment. And this body voted on the amendment to the amendment. So I guess whenever you put something out there for a vote, you better be ready for whatever comes with the vote. And think about it next time, possibly before doing it. That's all I have to say.
Congresswoman Edwards.
Our obligation is to the Osage people and the Constitution of the Osage people, not to lecture someone based on, or to vote based on a perceived slight. So I'm just going to encourage you again to go beyond what happened earlier and vote for our Constitution and for the Osage people, because if you don't, you're making the point of those people that say this form of government doesn't work for us.
Congresswoman Pratt.
I just wanted to reiterate that it doesn't mean it can't still happen. It can still happen. I mean, I saw how we got to the Budget Control Act, and it was ugly. It was real ugly, and it continues to be ugly. And there's nothing saying that somebody can't walk in, get started as soon as we finish on budgetary law. So I just, to act like it's just can't ever happen, that's the end. I mean, OFPR, that's, we went 2.5 years without that. That's in law, too.
Not in the Constitution.
In office, yeah. So I don't know, just the words saying that, like, this is just it. That's not, I mean, it was rough getting into that, into the passage of that in the first place. So I don't know. I don't agree with some of those statements. So.
Congressman Potts.
I'll yield.
This one?
Question, okay. We're going to vote on the amendment. Roll call vote, please.
Congresswoman Goodfox.
No.
Congresswoman Lemon.
No.
Congressman Maker.
Yes.
Congressman Mason.
Yes.
Congressman Potts.
Yes.
Congresswoman Pratt.
Yes.
Congresswoman Stabler.
Yes.
Congressman Walker.
No.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Yes.
Congressman Bighorse.
No.
Congresswoman Edwards.
Yes.
Speaker Tillman.
Yes. The amendment passes. ONCA 1993 will advance to third reading on today's agenda after engrossment. Congressman Walker.
I guess we can figure this out, assuming we're going to recess for engrossment, but those amendments not conflict with one another? Sure seems like it to me.
Excuse me. Is there a motion and a second?
I would like to make a motion.
Was it? Congresswoman.
First, I would like to ask the sponsor of the bill if he's willing to withdraw the bill. And I would make a motion to recess to the call of the chair for engrossment.
Second.
Excuse me, before we go any further, Mr. Gill.
Like I said before, if both of those pass, and they have now, we are left with a bill that has no substantive provisions. There is no reason to engross
or vote my motion
on this legislation. It can simply be put back in committee, withdrawn, or sit exactly where it is, but it's not going to go through engrossment because there's nothing to engross. There's no substantive law there.
Thank you. We are now on third reading. Congresswoman Whitehorn. Congresswoman Staver.
I'd like to move ONCA 1992 back to committee for further consideration.
Okay. Motion and a second. Congresswoman Edwards.
And that's the bill. Can you
give the health benefit.
That's the health benefit, to prohibit the accrual of the unused.
Yes.
Okay.
Any further discussion? Motion and a second. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying yes.
Yes. Yes.
Any opposed say no. 92. We'll move back to Committee of Jurisdiction. Next, we are on third reading. Try to go in numerical order here. And we'll start with ONCA 1971. An act to provide an appropriation to the Osage Press for fiscal year 2020 in the amount of $584,727 and to establish an alternate effective date. The sponsor is Congressman Potts. Congressman Potts, how would you like to proceed?
I'll close.
Are there any other members that wish to speak for or against this bill at this time? Congresswoman Edwards.
Well, this bill adds $100,000 to the annual appropriation from last year for the Osage Press. This body decided, I believe, without input from the executive branch, someone can tell me if I'm wrong about that, that we would move the board from a advisory board to a it's in essence a government board. I think it's called a non-business board. And that we would also add an alternate. As a result of doing that in another bill, the result is an additional amount of money for stipends. And the chief asked us to be conservative in our appropriation. I heard nothing that would cause me to think that this needed a $100,000 increase. One of the things I heard was we want to send two people to every one of the gatherings or any kind of election event. And I think in the situation that we're in, sending two reporters around the country is not fiscally responsible. Be that as it may, I haven't seen the law. I haven't seen whether the law has been enacted, but the law required us to fund the Osage Press, and I don't know if that's what's going to happen in the future. Whatever number we get, we're supposed to pass. I just have lost faith that this body understands its mission. So I wanted to make those comments. Thank you.
Thank you, Congresswoman. Are there any other members that wish to speak for or against this bill? Seeing none, Congressman Potts.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. ONCA 1971 is the appropriation for the Osage Press. This bill was worked on diligently in committee. We provided or received lots of input from the Government Operations Committee regarding the status of the board.
I think that the amendments to the Free Press Act or the Independent Press Act moved through this body that established the editorial board as a non-business board. I think that that's our intent through this body as we've voted. And so I'm defending the inclusion of the editorial board stipends at the increased amount. Furthermore, one of the additions or one of the increases was for the Osage News to be able to host a debate at the Tulsa Casino, also a result of a law that we passed. So I'll be in support of this bill. I think that it's an accurate reflection of what was submitted as a request for funding from the Osage Press, including the editorial board, and I urge you to vote in support of this bill.
Thank you, Congressman Potts. Question is, shall bill number ONCA 1971 pass?
Congresswoman Lemon.
Yes.
Congressman Maker.
Yes.
Congressman Mason.
Yes.
Congressman Potts.
Yes.
Congresswoman Pratt.
Yes.
Congresswoman Stabler.
Yes.
Congressman Walker.
Yes.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Yes.
Congressman Bighorse.
Yes.
Congresswoman Edwards.
Yes.
Congresswoman Goodfox.
Yes.
Speaker Tillman.
Yes. The bill passes. There's also an alternate effective date. All those in favor of the alternate effective date, please signify by saying yes.
Yes. Yes.
Any opposed, say no. The alternate effective date passes. Bill number ONCA 1971 will advance to enrollment. Next is bill number ONCA 1977. An act to provide an appropriation to the executive branch of the Osage Nation for fiscal year 2020 in the amount of $27,401,927, which includes $4 million of restricted revenue of the Wajaji Health Center, and to establish an alternate effective date. The sponsor is Congressman Walker. Congressman Walker, how would you like to proceed?
I'll reserve my time to close.
Are there any other members that wish to speak for or against this bill? Congresswoman Edwards.
I guess what I'd like for the sponsor to do for us in his talk is to tell us whether the amount of the bill, if the indirect cost amount is the correct indirect cost amount for fiscal year 20, if the indirect costs contained therein balance with the indirect cost pool, and whether the projected revenue report that was adopted this morning is accurate with respect to the spending that's contained in this bill. I think those are three important questions I need answered. I'm assuming that the projected revenue report could be considered the fiscal analysis, so long as it is the accurate projected revenue report and reflects this spending. Thank you.
Thank you, Congresswoman. Are there any other members that wish to speak for or against this bill? Congressman Potts.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We worked hard on ONCA 1977, and it includes lots of good things for the Osage Nation for the next fiscal year. I have no problem with members of Congress voting in support of this bill. However, I'm here today to explain my no vote. My no vote is based on the fact that I've worked these numbers since the submission on July 13th of this year. It came to light this morning that through analysis on this bill, the indirect cost recoveries are not enough to cover the expenditures from the IDC pool. I don't believe that that's a reason to hold up an appropriation for a fiscal year that starts tomorrow. We've got employees sitting in this room that are worried about what they do in the morning. So I don't fault anybody for voting for this bill. But as the chair of appropriations, as everyone at this table knows, I had to take my name off of this bill because personally, I cannot support a bill when I know that there's a mistake in it. We heard from the treasurer today that the actual rate is actually higher than what we've budgeted for, and that happens sometimes. I don't think that that's the underlying issue. I'm not concerned about the rate. What I am concerned about is even at the current rate, there's not enough funding going into the IDC pool. There are not enough recoveries to cover the demands that are currently being requested to be spent out of the IDC pool. We know this. We have documented this twice. That is why I cannot support ONCA 1977 at this time. Be happy to take another look at it. Happy to review it. But I know right now that that IDC pool is not in balance. So I'm going to have to vote no on ONCA 1977, specifically because an amendment was offered to correct the problem, and that amendment failed. So thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Congressman Potts. Any other members wish to speak for or against this bill? Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, members of Congress. This bill was a lot of work. Of course, we have a lot of things going on this session for our budgets. We've supported and adopted the Treasury Department using a new software system to budget with called Microy. That's new. Looks really new the way it comes over. There were some issues with that somewhat. First year that we've operated, first appropriation session we've operated under the Budget Control Act, that was another new facet that came up this session. But basically our underlying bill is the same. It's got all the departments and programs of the executive branch in there. The committees of jurisdiction reviewed, as we usually do. We got to a point on September 5th, we were $7.5 million over our projected revenue totals with the appropriations request. It moved down to, I think, a 2.2 by the 16th. And the committees were aware of it. We kept everybody informed. And appropriations came up with a plan to get us under. And the executive branch, which it has representatives here, said that's not the best plan for us. So the committee says, okay, go back and make some amendments to it, bring it back. What we did receive back was a complete committee substitute, which is not a bad thing in and of itself, except for part of our process, all the numbers within this 100-page bill are on a spreadsheet. They're underlying numbers that we work through all session. But on Friday, we got the committee substitute. We had to put numbers in at the last minute, build a new spreadsheet that wasn't ours to be able to do review of the total budget. And in doing so, we found that the indirect cost pool, which is the money that's collected, the IDC money that's collected from all of the budgets. It's a certain amount of money. And then we have programs that pull on that pool. There wasn't enough money in the IDC. There's no way this budget can collect enough dollars to support all of the authorized budgets out of there by about $5 million or better. No, excuse me. Let me think. 500,000 or better. So we're missing it by a half a million or better. And we know that. An amendment was proposed to balance this budget back out and this body rejected that within this legislation. I was a yes vote this morning for this executive branch bill. It represents a lot of work from a lot of people, including the directors, the Treasury Department, the Controller, the Appropriation Committee, members here. And I am for them getting an appropriation, and we can't let the government shut down. But I've worked this bill 2 years as a sponsor of it. And it's important to send out the best work you can,
1 minute.
Especially if you have the information. And I don't believe that we're doing so by ignoring a shortfall of that magnitude. So I'm explaining my no vote. I don't support it in its current form. Do I believe that it can be fixed? I do. Do I believe we had the opportunity to fix it September 30th, 2019? I do, and we refuse to do so. So I will be voting no. Based on that, I believe that there's enough votes for this to pass. And I just wanted to explain where I was on it. Thank you.
Thank you, Congresswoman. Congresswoman Stabler.
Just have a few words. I won't go back over what already has been said. I too have been working on this all month long, back and forth, arguing back and forth. Today has been a disappointing day for me to go through all of this. I think that my fight, this is my first year, first completed year here, and so my scope, my fight, my direction is going to be to continue to talk about the inflated growth of the nation. I want growth of the nation. I want us to have all the success that we can find. But what we have right now is really out of balance with what's available to us. So we've got to find that happy medium of growth and revenues coming in. And we've got to either find more resources for revenues, or we've got to find ways to curb the growth at the speed of the revenue. So that's going to be my mantra this whole year. I want to have discussion. I'm hoping to have more discussion with my peers here, and I hope we can have more discussion about how we can get there. The same thing with the health benefit, something I was really driven to do, to start being an example of what we've got to seriously look at. So I'm just of a mind that we've not taken a step backward, but we've continued to take a step forward that I think we need to be more cautious about. And so that's going to be my work. I'm hoping to come up with something in the spring that hopefully will help with this. I guess that's the main thing. I know I'm going to vote for this. I don't want there to be any stoppage of work that's done at the nation. I don't want anybody in fear of that. I didn't want anyone in fear of layoffs, which none of us did, but we had to come up with a solution. So we've all got to get on the same page, and I know that that's a 12-year saga that's been going on, but I'm going to do my best for my part now that I'm here to help that come along. I guess I'm going to continue to be optimistic that we're going to get there. So I'm going to vote for this today, and thank you all. Maybe we can get done.
Thank you, Congresswoman. Any other members wish to speak for or against this bill? Members of Congress, Assistant Chief, those in attendance and those listening, I know there's a lot of, should be, heavy hearts in this room today. As as I've said in my position as Speaker of this Congress, and I look at our behavior, our emotions, our decision-making, a number of things that have been exposed today, we have to get better. And I pray and I hope we strive to get better. Things happen here in this room that it's the moment. You live in this moment. And I understand how things can escalate. Tempers rise, emotions flare. But here we are. Here we are. And I'd just like to say that the backbone of this nation are its employees. I used to be an employee. I was written out of a budget as an employee. I had no income. I had no insurance. I had no way to provide for my family. It happened to me. And now I stand before you as Speaker of the Congress, and I feel blessed. And what a huge privilege for me to stand here. And we have this growth of the nation. We have $130+ million in debt. Construction, the ranch, we're adding jobs. Health benefit is bursting. Tough decisions to come in front of us. And the big thing, as Chief Standing Bear said in his opening remarks as we stood here, was the possibility of increase of exclusivity fees that we're going to have to pay the state of Oklahoma. So that throws us even further in serious, serious decision-making as we go forward. And this bill, if it does not pass, as I've been told, conversation with the chief's office to our staff, and we don't get it up on the Hill before midnight, that there will be a government shutdown. Can't let that happen. So I will be a yes vote on this bill. Thank you. Congressman Walker.
I waive my time.
Question is, shall bill number ONCA 1977 pass?
Congressman Maker.
Yes.
Congressman Mason.
Yes.
Congressman Potts.
No.
Congresswoman Pratt.
Yes.
Congresswoman Stabler.
Yes.
Congressman Walker.
Yes.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Yes.
Congressman Bighorse.
Yes.
Congresswoman Edwards.
Yes.
Congresswoman Goodfox.
Yes.
Congresswoman Lemon.
Yes.
Speaker Tillman.
Yes. The bill passes. There is an alternate effective date. All those in favor of the alternate effective date signify by saying yes.
Yes. Yes.
Alternate effective date passes. ONCA 1977 will advance to enrollment. Next, we are on ONCA 1991, an act to provide an appropriation for base pay and special adjustments for FY 2020 in the amount of $21,260 and to establish an alternate effective date. The sponsor is Congressman Potts. Congressman Potts, how would you like to proceed?
Close.
Are there any other members that wish to speak for or against this bill at this time? Congressman Potts.
I'll waive my time.
Question is, shall bill number ONCA 1991 pass?
Congressman Mason.
Yes.
Congressman Potts.
Yes.
Congresswoman Pratt.
Yes.
Congresswoman Stabler.
Yes.
Congressman Walker.
Yes.
Congresswoman Whitehorn?
Yes.
Congressman Big Horse?
Yes.
Congresswoman Edwards?
Yes.
Congresswoman Goodfox?
Yes.
Congresswoman Lemon?
Yes.
Congressman Maker?
Yes.
Speaker Tillman?
Yes. ONCA 1991 passes. There is an alternate effective date. All those in favor of the alternate effective date signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Any opposed, say no. The alternate effective date passes. ONCA 1991 will advance to enrollment. Next is Bill Number ONCA 1994, an act to provide an appropriation to the Office of the Attorney General of the Osage Nation for fiscal year 2020 in the amount of $1,744,079 and to establish an alternate effective date. The sponsor is Congressman Potts. Congressman Potts, how would you like to proceed?
I'll close.
Are there any other members that wish to speak for or against this bill at this time? Seeing none, Congressman Potts.
Waive my time.
Question is, shall Bill Number ONCA 1994 pass?
Congressman Potts?
Yes.
Congresswoman Pratt?
Yes.
Congresswoman Stabler?
Yes.
Congressman Walker?
Yes.
Congresswoman Whitehorn?
Yes.
Congressman Big Horse?
Yes.
Congresswoman Edwards?
Yes.
Congresswoman Goodfox?
Yes.
Congresswoman Lemon?
Yes.
Congressman Maker?
Yes.
Congressman Mason?
Yes.
Speaker Tillman?
Yes. Bill Number ONCA 1994 passes. There is an alternate effective date. All those in favor of the alternate effective date signify by saying yes.
Yes.
The opposed, say no. The alternate effective date passes. Bill Number ONCA 1994 will advance to enrollment. Next is Bill Number ONCA 1995, an act to provide an appropriation to the judicial branch of the Osage Nation for fiscal year 2020 in the amount of $467,662 and to establish an alternate effective date. The sponsor is Congressman Potts. Congressman Potts, how would you like to proceed?
Close.
Are there any other members that wish to speak for or against this bill at this time? Seeing none, Congressman Potts.
Waive my time.
Question is, shall Bill Number ONCA 1995 pass?
Congresswoman Pratt?
Yes.
Congresswoman Stabler?
Yes.
Congressman Walker?
Yes.
Congresswoman Whitehorn?
Yes.
Congressman Big Horse?
Yes.
Congresswoman Edwards?
Yes.
Congresswoman Goodfox?
Yes.
Congresswoman Lemon?
Yes.
Congressman Maker?
Yes.
Congressman Mason?
Yes.
Congressman Potts?
Yes.
Speaker Tillman?
Yes. ONCA 1995 passes. There is an alternate effective date. All those in favor of the alternate effective date signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Any opposed, say no. The alternate effective date passes. Bill Number ONCA 1995 will advance to enrollment. Next, we are on ONCA 1996, an act to authorize and appropriate $4,933 for judicial branch merit payments and $7,824 to the legislative branch for merit payments in accordance with the Workforce Pay for Performance Act and to establish an alternate effective date. The sponsor is Congressman Potts. Congressman Potts, how would you like to proceed?
I'll close.
Are there any other members that wish to speak for or against this bill at this time? Seeing none, Congressman Potts.
Waive my time.
Question is, shall Bill Number ONCA 1996 pass?
Congresswoman Stabler?
Yes.
Congressman Walker?
Yes.
Congresswoman Whitehorn?
Yes.
Congressman Big Horse?
Yes.
Congresswoman Edwards?
Yes.
Congresswoman Goodfox?
Yes.
Congresswoman Lemon?
Yes.
Congressman Maker?
Yes.
Congressman Mason?
Yes.
Congressman Potts?
Yes.
Congresswoman Pratt? Speaker Tillman?
Yes. Bill Number ONCA 1996 passes. There is an alternate effective date. All those in favor of the alternate effective date signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Any opposed, say no. The alternate effective date passes. Bill number ONCA 1996 will advance to enrollment. Next, we are on motions and notices. Do we have any motions and notices? Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Yes. I move to amend the congressional rules according to Amendment 1 on the Rules and Ethics Committee Report, page 37, line 15, insert new letter J as follows. J, consider and approve all conferences, conventions, special events, and meetings when hosted in whole or in part by Congress, including but not limited to trainings, retreats, conferences, workshops, special events, and inaugural event, with the exception of Rule 7.17 and 7.18 regarding hearings, and adjust lettering accordingly. That's my motion.
Second.
Motion and a second. Discussion. Congresswoman Whitehorn.
I brought this proposed rule before the Rules, Ethics, and Ingressment Committee. They heard it. We discussed it. They helped me improve upon it. Essentially, it inserts this new section. It doesn't strike any existing language. Everything that I read would be new language inserted into the duties of the Congressional Affairs Committee, which I believe by precedent are already happening. But in review of my rules, it doesn't designate that those things particularly belong to that committee. So now it just actually says that in the rules. The committee passed it out with a due pass recommendation. So I'm asking for a vote on this so we can have it inserted to the rules, congressional rules.
Thank you, Congresswoman. Any other discussions? Roll call vote, please.
Congressman Walker.
Yes.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Yes.
Congressman Big Horse.
Yes.
Congresswoman Edwards.
Yes.
Congresswoman Goodfox.
Yes.
Congresswoman Lemon.
Yes.
Congressman Maker.
Yes.
Congressman Mason.
Yes.
Congressman Potts.
Yes.
Congresswoman Pratt.
Yes.
Congresswoman Stabler.
Yes.
Speaker Tillman.
Yes. The amendment passes. Any other motions and notices? Congresswoman Edwards.
We have to override the line item veto in ONCA 1988.
Second.
Motion and a second. Discussion.
Like the veto read?
Yes, please.
My understanding, and I may have it wrong, that either the veto message has to be read at this session or a vote to waive the reading of that veto message before we consider an override. Is that correct, Madam Clerk or Speaker? Is that correct?
Let me check with Madam Clerk.
Okay, thank you.
Restate the question, please.
It's my understanding that in order to take a vote on a veto override, that the veto message either has to be read at this session or a motion to waive the reading of it before we can take the vote.
Yes.
That is correct?
Yes.
So, is the motion proper, I guess, is my question.
Congresswoman Edwards, did you have your hand up?
Move to waive the reading of ONCA 1988.
Second.
Okay. Motion and second. Discussion. Seeing none, all those in favor of the motion signify by saying yes.
Yes. Yes.
Any opposed, say no.
No.
Roll call vote, please.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Yes.
Congressman Big Horse?
No.
Congresswoman Edwards?
Yes.
Congresswoman Goodfox?
No.
Congresswoman Lemon?
No.
Congressman Maker?
No.
Congressman Mason?
No.
Congressman Potts?
No.
Congresswoman Pratt?
No.
Congresswoman Stabler?
No.
Congressman Walker?
No.
Speaker Tillman?
No. Motion fails. Congresswoman Edwards?
I request then that the speaker read the line item veto message of the principal chief regarding ONCA 1988 on September 26, 2019.
We'll have to get copies.
Motion for a brief recess so that you can get copies of the veto message.
Second.
Motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes.
The opposed say no. We're in recess.